Hey everyone, Homes.com knows having the right agent can make or break your home search. That's why they provide home shoppers with an agent directory that gives you a detailed look at each agent's experience, like the number of closed sales in a specific neighborhood, average price range, and more. It lets you easily connect with all the agents in the area you're searching so you can find the right agent with the right experience and ultimately the right home for you. Homes.com, we've done your homework.
Life in our modern age comes at you pretty fast, which makes our time away especially valuable. When I take time to relax, I like to get far from my everyday life, immerse myself in natural beauty, and have unique experiences. But you don't have to leave the U.S. to experience tropical rainforests and islands filled with adventure, warm culture, and national treasures. Visit Puerto Rico, an island with a vibrant spirit that will sweep you away. Because when you visit, you don't become part of the island, it becomes part of you. In Puerto Rico, you can forget where you came from and embrace where you are. Puerto Rico, where visits end, but stories last forever. No passport required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
Welcome to Stuff You Should Know from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Josh Clark. With me, as always, is Charles W. Chuck Bryant, right?
I am here, sir.
Jerry, are you here? Yes, she's here. This is then Stuff You Should Know. Not the myth, the legend.
That's right. The legendary. We should do a show where we bust myths.
We're about to do that right now.
No, like a TV show where we go out and we take myths and we bust them. And
that's a great idea.
You know?
Yeah, like we could blow certain things up.
If we had to.
We could have like a little assemblage of people who kind of help us out sometime and maybe spin off and get their own shows.
That's not a bad idea.
Huh. I'm going to wear a beret.
No.
Yeah, I'm going to do it. I've been thinking for years about whether or not to just go ahead and wear a beret out in public. I do at home very frequently.
You should only wear a beret if you grow a walrus mustache.
That would be a good look.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll go back to classes too.
Might as well.
Huh. What will you do?
I don't know. I think we're onto something, though. I'll just say my same affable self.
But with a slightly more stylized haircut?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
All right. I think we're onto something.
Okay.
Let's pitch it to the bosses.
Yeah. Which company?
Yeah, I don't know.
Discovery?
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Okay.
The Myth Dudes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great one.
All right.
So, Chuck...
going to make $1 million.
We are. You're feeling pretty good?
I am.
I'm glad.
How are you?
I'm good, too. Your Mickey Mouse t-shirt is cheering me up.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
I'm glad something is.
I'm cheerful.
Okay, good.
I don't really have much of an intro for this, aside from, I don't know if you know this or not, but I have a little video series that I do.
Yeah?
It's called Don't Be Dumb.
This is... virtually a podcast version of that show.
That it struck me like that as well. Mm-hmm. But even better than that, it is one that we're doing together.
Yeah, and I think there was a couple of these you've actually covered too, right?
Yeah, yeah. Like is your blood blue in your veins?
Spoiler.
Yeah, we don't want to...
Actually, you know what? You should go ahead and cover that one.
Okay.
Because I think you're the expert. I've always heard...
I'm pretty far from an expert, man.
In elementary school that... your veins, your blood is actually blue because see that right under my arm there, my forearm, you can see it. It's blue until it reaches, like if you get cut and when it gets oxygen,
right,
boom, turns red.
Yeah, and it's supposedly your veins that are blue because they're the ones that contain deoxygenated blood, right?
That's what I always heard.
It's already used up from your organs and tissues and it's en route back to your lungs to become oxygenated again, right? That's not true. There's no part of... Again, Chuck, I'm not an expert.
Are you saying David Renzo in the fourth grade lied to me?
Yeah. He's a dirty liar. David Renzo. your blood at no point is ever blue. The more oxygen it has in it, the deeper the red.
Huh.
Right? But there's no blue blood in you. The whole thing is an optical trick, right? So your skin is translucent, see-through. And it really doesn't have a color. It's your fat that gives your skin its color.
Okay.
And fat tends to have a kind of a crazy effect on light. Like it scatters it in all sorts of different directions, right?
Yeah.
And depending on how deep a blood vessel is, that will have an effect on what color that blood vessel looks like because some colors of light, some wavelengths, are reflected better than others, right?
Okay.
So if you have a blue blood vessel, it's usually very close to the surface.
Yeah.
And that means that all of the red light has been absorbed, and what's being reflected back and kind of scattered about is the blue. That's all there is to it. There's no blue blood in your veins. It's just
what
an
really
optical
wealthy
illusion.
And your family comes from wealth.
Well, that's more of a figurative thing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I think it would be pretty creepy now that I think about it if everyone had like red streaks of veins running through their body.
Yeah.
I think we're just so used to seeing blue. If we saw red all of a sudden, it would be creepy.
Well, you can see. I mean, some veins are red, you know, depending on the depth as well.
Oh, yeah?
You can see some red veins every once in a while or red blood vessels. But for the most part, the ones that really stand out are blue. You don't think they're creepy in and of themselves?
The blue?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's a little creepy.
It is a little creepy. But anyway, the point is, you don't have any blue blood. It's all just what color is absorbed and what color is reflected by the amount of fat and the depth of the blood vessel.
Okay. I hope some kids are listening to this one.
Yeah. And if they're not, hey, you can go watch Don't Be Dumb on our website.
Yeah. And I think most of these I did, it's like it all goes to elementary school and you hear from various kids or sometimes teachers.
Yeah.
Get it wrong, you know?
Yeah.
All right. I got one for you.
Okay.
I'm going to go with the body. You lose most of your heat through your head.
Yeah.
You ever heard that?
Oh, yeah.
This one goes back to apparently two things. Some experiments the Army did in the 1950s where they dressed up volunteers to give them a little whirl at Arctic survival. And
there was a special field trip.
There was. And they put them in the big survival suits, you know, super warm, put them out in the cold, but they left their heads uncovered. And so most of the heat was lost to the heads. That ended up in an Army training manual, a survival manual from 1970, which said 40 to 45% of body heat comes from the head that you lose.
So that's true then?
It is not true.
Oh.
The reason they lost all that body heat through the head is because that was the only part that didn't have anything on it.
Right.
It's as simple as that. You don't lose, I guess, actually your head, your face, and your chest are a little more sensitive to temperature change. But
that doesn't mean that you lose more heat there, though,
no,
right?
You lose the same amount of heat. No more than 10% of your body heat's going to go through your head.
Because it's proportional to surface area. Your head makes up about 10% of the surface area of your body. Therefore, you lose about 10% of your body heat through that.
Yeah, like do the same experiment with a ski mask on and naked from the waist down.
And see if you don't get arrested.
Yeah. Well, a few things might happen in that situation.
Just stand there and wave to all the skiers.
It's an experiment.
You're doing great.
They're not going to say you lose most of your body heat through your genitals in that case.
I think had the Army been a little more swinging back in the 50s.
You never know.
They may have come up with that experiment, and that would be the myth.
So we're not saying don't wear a toque out in the cold. You should, just as you should wear your parka.
Yeah, just bundle up.
Bundle up.
Yeah.
Buttercup. You got one?
I do have one.
Okay.
I like this one. I know you don't, but I didn't know this. Mount Everest is the tallest mountain in the world.
You didn't know that wasn't true?
No.
I think that's the one I heard early on as just that, like, little kids love saying things like that. They also love saying, that's actually not the case.
I've never encountered that little kid.
Yeah, I knew that kid. It was also David Arenzo.
Man, that kid is...
He's on the ball.
He was terrible.
Yeah.
So the a lot of people are saying, well, what is it then? What's the tallest mountain? Hold your horses. It is true that Mount Everest is the highest mountain. It's just not the tallest mountain, right? Because of the way geologists and geographers measure mountains.
Okay. So from sea level?
Yeah, that's highest. Highest is the amount of the mountain that is above sea level. And Everest has that one licked. It's the highest mountain at 29,029 feet above sea level, right?
Yes.
But to measure which mountain is tallest, that goes from the base of the mountain to the summit. And in this case, that's Mauna Kea in Hawaii.
This thing is huge.
That makes it the tallest mountain. Even though most of it is underwater, if you took away all the water and the idea of sea level at all and just measured this mountain from the base to the top,
yeah,
you have a 33,465 feet tall mountain.
Yeah, which is, that's about 4,000 feet higher than Everest. That's substantial.
Right, but above sea level, as far as highness goes, it's only 13,799 feet high.
Yeah, but I kind of feel bad for Mauna Kea because it never gets the dew it deserves.
No.
Because of all that stupid water.
And there's another way to measure a mountain, too, by the distance from the center of the Earth. You know, the Earth is not a perfect sphere.
Yeah.
And it's widest at its circumference, i.e. the equator. And there is a mountain in Ecuador called the Chimborazo. And it is a great many meters, which I forgot to write down, from the center of the Earth.
Wow.
So if you think about just the, if you cut the Earth.
Yeah.
Cut a mountain in half and we're able to core the Earth at the same time, you would see like, oh, this mountain is further than this one.
That makes sense.
It makes sense in a geographer's way.
Yeah. I think, also too, although there's really not a gauge for this, but just how striking a mountain might appear.
Yeah.
You probably should go with Kilimanjaro.
Sure.
Because it rises from the flat plains of Tanzania, and that's like the only thing out there if you've ever seen pictures or mm-hmm. been there. Mm-hmm. It's pretty amazing. And it's not like Everest doesn't stand out, but when you're in the Himalayas, you're a little bit taller than your brothers next door. But Kilimanjaro is at 19,340 feet. When everything else is flat, that's pretty remarkable.
Yeah, just rising right up from the plain.
All right, so go mountains.
Just watch what you say, everybody, is the point of that one. Tallest, highest, choose your words carefully.
All right, this is a good one. And this is one that I think most everyone believes, that the Great Wall of China is the only man-made object visible from space.
I did this one on Don't Be Dumb, too.
Did you?
I love this one.
Yeah, this one is wrong on every level.
Yeah.
Because not only can you see other things, you can't really see the Great Wall of China. It's double wrong.
Right. So you can, like you said, see other things. There's also a big problem with this is the idea that you can see the Great Wall of China from space. Well, where in space?
Exactly. That's pretty broad.
There's all sort of, like, lower Earth orbit is 135 miles above sea level.
Yeah.
And apparently from lower Earth orbit, you can see all sorts of things with the naked eye. And if you have binoculars, you can really see stuff like trucks and things like that. But you can see airports, dams, you can see roadways.
Yeah.
Cities are obviously very clear, especially at night.
Yeah.
So there's all sorts of stuff you can see. One of the things you have a tremendous amount of trouble seeing and that you can't see with the naked eye from space is the Great Wall of China.
The one thing that they say is the only thing you can see.
Yeah.
How about that for irony?
And why, Chuck?
Well, one reason is because it's made up of rocks local to the area.
Yeah.
And so it kind of looks like everything else in the area.
Yeah, it blends in just a tad.
Yeah, and it's big and it's long, so you would think, I mean, I see where the rumor got started, because it's one of the great wonders of the world, and it is huge in scope.
It's long.
Yeah.
But it's narrow. It's like 13,000 miles long.
Yeah.
But it's like 30 feet across.
Right.
So it's long, but it's not necessarily big. You know where this one got its origin?
In 1938.
Yeah.
And no one knew at that point.
No, it was Robert Ripley. And Ripley's, Believe It or Not, wrote in a column that you could see the Great Wall of China from the moon.
Was that what it was?
Yeah, and everybody just thought it was true because everybody
was in the 30s?
Everyone was so gullible back then. And it wasn't until NASA's astronauts made it to the moon that they were able to confirm that, no, you can't see the Great Wall of China. But the Chinese didn't believe it until they sent their own people into space in 2003.
They were pretty bummed, too.
Yeah.
You can't see anything man-made from the moon.
No.
That's way up there. They say Alan Bean, an Apollo 12 astronaut, said, the only thing you can see from the moon is a beautiful sphere, mostly white, some blue, patches of yellow, and every once in a while some green vegetation, but nothing man-made at all.
Right.
So,
but that's where the original version of it was. You could see the Great Wall of China from the moon.
Yeah.
Then we went to the moon and it was downgraded to, you can see it from space.
Yeah. And then, you know, they're trying to prove, like, I think the Chinese took photos from lower Earth orbit and they were like, you see there, you can make out that's the Great Wall of China.
Right.
But, you know, it took, like, hunting and pecking and poking around. And
like a 100 millimeter lens, I think.
Yeah. So.
Doesn't count.
Doesn't count.
If you can't see it with the naked eye from lower Earth orbit, you can't see it from space.
Dang straight. Okay, I got one for you that supposedly you've never heard.
Let me hear it.
And we're going to get to it right after this message break.
Oh, okay. Stuff you should know. Hey, everybody. It's time you heard about Squarespace. Squarespace has the tools you need to create and sell your own website. Whether it's an online course or custom merch, Squarespace has you covered.
That's right. Courses is a great program. You can start with a professional layout that fits your brand, upload video lessons to teach techniques and skills, and tailor your course with a powerful Fluid Engine editor.
That's right. With Fluid Engine, which is a next generation website design system, by the way, it's never been easier for anyone to unlock unbreakable creativity.
That's right. And don't forget the commerce side, because after that, you can charge a one-time fee or you can even sell a subscription.
Yeah. So turn your creativity into income with Squarespace courses. And right now, go to squarespace.com/stuff for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use offer code STUFF to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Squarespace. All right, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. Because in Monopoly Go, you can team up with your friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. It's very nice.
That's right. And the more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock. And there's so much to get. I'm talking about unique stickers that you can trade with friends to complete albums for big prizes, cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with, or hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults.
Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges, like digging for treasure or a robot pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
That's right. There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it now for free on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
Okay. So let's talk about this one.
Okay.
Have you ever heard, like on a trip to like an abbey or monastery, this is where it usually comes up as a kid, like stained glass is maybe thicker at the bottom or leaded glass in windows, that glass is a very slow moving liquid?
No, I hadn't heard that. And really? I can tell you, had I been on that field trip, I would have yelled at the docent for lying.
Really?
Yeah.
Even at that age?
Yeah.
See, I would have gone, wow.
Even at that age, I would have been like, that is preposterous.
Well, you, sir, are much smarter than I was at that age. It is not a slow-moving liquid at all. It is an amorphous solid.
I've never heard that before.
Yeah, it's not the same. It's not a liquid. It's not a real solid.
But I've never heard somebody call it a slow-moving liquid and explain, like, wavy glass like that.
Yeah, well, it comes from how it's actually was made back then.
Yeah.
Up until the mid-1800s, there was a process called the crown method where you blow the glass, flatten it out, heat it, spin it.
Smack it on the bottom.
Oh, no. And you've got a sheet of glass. And it's pretty cheap, but it's rippled, and some parts are thicker than others.
It
and
gives
it's
you
not
migraines
exact.
When you look at nature.
I have the windows in my house do that.
Yeah.
Some of them.
Yeah, Yumi and I lived in a Craftsman that was like that.
Yeah.
And they were, the wind blew right through them.
Yep. It's pretty weird. So the difference in a liquid and solid is all about molecular structure. Solid has arranged molecules in a crystalline structure. When you heat that up, the molecules are going to vibrate. And then it will eventually reach a melting point when those little structures break down. Liquid becomes a solid when it gets cooled.
Mm-hmm.
And if you super cool a liquid, it'll remain that way beyond like the freezing point. So glass is an amorphous solid. It's not quite as organized as the crystal, but it does not freeze. So it's more organized than a liquid.
So like in any form... In any version of its solid form, glass is an amorphous solid, not just when it's wavy.
I think it's just an amorphous solid.
Huh.
We need to do one on glass. It's pretty remarkable.
Yeah.
We could tag team it with our mirrors.
My hometown is like the capital, the glass capital of the world.
Oh, yeah?
The glass city.
Toledo, the glass city?
Yeah.
Huh.
Gotta be proud of something.
That and Tony Pacos.
Yeah.
So we got a few more, but I think we should take a little message break, and then we will wrap it up.
Stuff you should know.
All right, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. Because in Monopoly Go, you can team up with your friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. It's very nice.
That's right. And the more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock. And there's so much to get. I'm talking about unique stickers that you can trade with friends to complete albums for big prizes, cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with, or hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults.
Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges, like digging for treasure or a robot pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
That's right. There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it now for free on Google Play or the App Store. Game on. Hey, everyone. Homes.com knows having the right agent can make or break your home search. That's why they provide home shoppers with an agent directory that gives you a detailed look at each agent's experience, like the number of closed sales in a specific neighborhood, average price range, and more. It lets you easily connect with all the agents in the area you're searching so you can find the right agent with the right experience and ultimately the right home for you. Homes.com. We've done your homework. Okay, what else you got?
I've got one. Have you ever heard that if you see a little baby bird mm-hmm. on the ground,
yeah.
you pick it up, that's it for that bird. Like you've just signed its death warrant because your stink is on the bird. And when the mother comes back, it'll smell the fact that a human's touched this bird. And
a
now
dirty
it's,
human.
It's spoiled somehow and the bird will be rejected by its mother and mm-hmm. starved to death. So, you pretty much have to take the bird indoors and raise it as your own child.
I have heard that, actually.
Yeah. Did you ever do that?
Well, I've told the story about when I accidentally killed the bird as a lifeguard when I drowned it.
No.
I think I've told it. I found a bird in the pool and rescued it out, and the bird was still alive, but seemingly dehydrated. So mm-hmm. I got a straw and would, you know, get a little liquid in the straw, and the bird would peck at it and drink.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, this bird is thirsty because it's just drinking.
Right.
It drank so much water, it died.
Oh, man.
And it kept going back for more, and I thought I was doing the right thing, and the bird just quit moving. And here's the funny part of this story. All these kids, I'm surrounded by like 12-year-olds at this pool, and I pick up the bird, and I notice it's like kind of fat and bloated now. And when I picked it up and I didn't even squeeze it. Water shot out of its mouth like a squirt gun.
No. I've never heard of that one.
Screamed in horror.
I'm sure.
Because over the course of 6 hours, I drowned this bird that I took out of the pool.
Man, drowned it on land, on dry land.
It's one of my great all-time awful stories.
I never did that.
Yeah.
I raised squirrels before, little squirrelings. But Yumi has a pretty good story of, like, picking up a little bird that she found on the grass that, you know, obviously was going to die if she didn't care for it.
Yeah.
And she was a pretty little kid. And she got a hold of the phone number of a local vet and started calling them and asking them what to do.
Uh-huh.
And then she'd go do what they said, and then she'd call them back again and go do what they said again. And apparently her mom figured out what was going on. It's like, stop calling this vet. So she found the number to another vet, started calling them.
Stop
and then
calling
she,
this
she
vet.
Called like one and then called the other. And she kept pestering these people.
Wow.
And they're trying to help, apparently. But they're also like, this bird's a goner.
Right.
So they said, you need to keep the bird warm. So this was at a time when microwaves were pretty new.
Oh, no.
And so she didn't kill the bird in the microwave, but like this bird spent a few seconds in the microwave heating up. And she got it out, and it was warm, and she wrapped it up and took care of it and was really, like, stressing, like, really wanted this bird to live and was doing everything she could, and it just didn't work out.
Man, Yumi and I can't wait to see her again.
Yeah.
We actually share the very horrific stories.
Yeah. The point of this is that neither one of you should have touched this bird in the first place because it was probably in the middle of a flying lesson.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with your human stank and the mother's rejection.
Yeah, that's another
thing. The bird was probably trying to fly, and the mom was probably nearby allowing that to happen.
Yes. So you come along, you see a bird, you assume it fell out of a nest. right?
Sure.
And you pick it up. And two things just happened. One, you interrupted a flying lesson and kidnapped a baby bird.
Mm-hmm.
And two, the idea that you couldn't just put that bird back down after you picked it up because your smell is on it is totally false, too, because birds don't have a very good sense of smell.
Yeah. In general, your average yard bird isn't going to know that you had your stank on it or care.
No.
We're not dirty to them.
No. And even if we were, they couldn't really smell us anyway. So the whole concept of that a mother bird will reject her little birdling. What are they called when they're little, like
birdlets?
It's not birdlet.
No. Baby birds.
Baby birds.
Yeah.
The idea that a mother will reject a baby bird, I think, was probably developed to keep little kids from touching them.
Probably so.
And interrupting a flying lesson or whatever.
Yeah, so maybe we should not encourage or discourage people from saying this.
Yeah, but at the same time, it kind of backfired because it's like, oh, well, I touched it now. I have to...
kill it in the microwave.
Yeah, I have to try to take care of it to death.
Yeah. And we were both had our hearts in the right place, too.
Oh, sure.
Except I was like 18.
Yeah.
That's the difference.
She's
Amy
definitely,
was 5.
Yeah.
All right, I've got one. And this one I actually did not know until I studied this. Chameleons, I've always thought, change their color to blend into their surroundings.
Yeah.
As a form of camouflage. That is not so.
That is not so.
They do change color, but it has nothing to do with that. It is physical or emotional changes.
They're like
moving. They may want to fight. They may want to make love.
Right.
It depends, but it has nothing to do with I'm going to be green because I'm in the grass or I'm going to be brown because I'm on your deck.
No, because they're already pretty camouflaged as it is.
Oh, yeah.
When they change color, they kind of go the opposite of being camouflaged and suddenly they're bright orange.
Yeah.
And they do that by using chromatophores, which are pigment containing cells that can move and bend and change to expose one pigment or another. And they have layers of these chromatophores that work together in the same way that paint kind of mixes.
Yeah.
So you have a layer that's yellow and a layer that's red, and like these cells will overlap and all of a sudden the chameleon's orange.
Yeah, it'll just send a signal basically and open up the paint can.
Yeah.
Sort of like we described in the octopus,
mm-hmm.
the coolest animal ever.
Yeah.
It's the same deal, chromatophores.
Yep.
And
but they don't do it to camouflage themselves. They do it to fight.
Yeah, whereas the octopus does do it to camouflage.
Right.
Yeah, so how about that? Still a cool animal.
Sure.
Very neat to be able to change color. But that commercial that you see with the chameleon changing color to blend in with the backgrounds is a lie. Can't remember the...
It's a paint commercial.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course it is.
Sure.
I think you have one more, don't you? Or do you have two more?
I have one more.
Okay. Let's hear it.
Chuck. You've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 senses.
Sight, smell, touch, hearing, and what am I forgetting?
Taste.
Yeah. And then the sixth sense, which is?
The one that lets you know when somebody's looking at you even when you're not facing them.
Yeah, like eyes in the back of your head.
What is that?
Someone's watching. I don't know, man.
That will be understood within our lifetime.
You think?
Sure.
But there are actually way more senses than that, depending on who you ask. Maybe as many as 21.
Yeah, I saw 14 to 21, too.
Yeah.
And those five that we mentioned are now these days referred to as the classical senses.
The OGs.
But you can take basically human senses and lump them into two categories. You have interoception, which is our sense or awareness of how we're feeling on the inside, and our exteroception, which is how we sense the world around us, like temperature or something like that, would be our sensitivity to temperature would be an exteroception sense.
Okay.
Whereas our awareness that we have to pee or our sense of balance would be interoception.
All right. That makes sense.
Doesn't it?
Yeah. Some of the other senses that we have in the skin, we have 5 different types of nerve endings just in our skin.
Yeah.
So you can sense heat, cold, pain, itch, and pressure. And you can even sense heat without touching it. So that's its own sense.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, like the, it's a different receptor when you touch a hot stove as when you put your hand near a fire.
Huh.
And so those are two separate things.
I just assume that there were more of them involved to a lower degree, but it's a different thing.
It's a different thing.
That's really cool.
Yeah, and that's a more recent finding, too, I think.
Supposedly our ability to sense that we need to vomit is one, its own thing as well.
Yeah.
Hunger, or sense of hunger.
Sure.
Basically, there's a whole world of sense experiences that we have that we've just totally overlooked as senses.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, I feel hungry. I'm just hungry.
Right.
It's actually an actual sense.
Yeah.
Pretty neat.
I think it is.
And I bet you they're going to further... It's not like they discover more, but as they dig in, I think they find that they can break it down more specifically. Is what it is.
Right.
It's not like, oh, they just discovered you could feel fire when you're near it. They said, oh, we discovered it's an actual separate thing than touching fire.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got anything else?
Oh, I got plenty else, Chuckers. And if people want to hear them and see me act like a strange weirdo.
It's really pretty. It's one of the best things.
Thanks, man. you can check out Don't Be Dumb on our website.
Like, you really should watch this, people, because I don't think you understand when Josh says, watch me being a weirdo, you think, oh, Josh is being silly. No, he really is playing this very odd, strange character, and that is, you know, 75% of the enjoyment.
Thanks, man.
And then the other 25% is you learn something.
You're learning, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So since I said don't be dumb, that means that I should also tell you to go check out this article on HowStuffWorks.com. Type false facts, I think, will bring this article up.
Sure.
Because there's a couple we didn't get to.
Yeah.
Like every top 10 list.
Yeah, I think we've had covered those previously, but if you want to begin to taste, it's on there.
And since I said search bar, that means it's time now, friends, for listener mail.
I'm going to call this anti-joke. Hey, guys, just listen to the Joke podcast, which is our live show that we did called Is There a Scientific Formula for Funny?
Out at Podcast Fest.
That's right. My friend Derek and I are huge joke fans, punsters, and what have you. One of our favorite jokes is actually called an anti-joke. It's called that because it's so ridiculously not funny and unexpected that the funny part comes from people's reaction.
The rest of us call it irritating.
Well, I'm going to tell the joke.
Okay.
So get ready to be irritated. Guy walks into a bar and pauses, and at the end of the bar, there's this dude with a big orange head. And the guy's just kind of sitting there, and the guy asks the bartender, hey, what's up with the guy with the big orange head over there? It's kind of weird. He says, oh, dude, you got to hear the story. Go down there and buy him a drink. He'll tell it to you. I guarantee it. So the guy walks over, and the dude with the big orange head says, so I know what you're doing. You probably want to know the story behind my head here. And the guy says, well, yeah, if you don't mind, I'll buy you a drink. And he was like, all right, cool. So I've gone over it a million times. It's basically, here's the story. I was walking on the beach one day. I stubbed my toe on something. I looked down, and there was an antique brass lamp. I picked it up and dusted it off a little bit, and this enormous genie pops out. It's a magic lantern. The genie says, hey, you release me from my 10,000-year imprisonment. I'm forever in your debt, and I'm going to grant you 3 wishes as a token of my gratitude. And the man at the bar was like, wow, what happened, man? This is incredible. And how'd you get the orange head? He's like, well, just listen. I said, all right, I got 3 wishes. I guess my first wish is I want to be really rich, fantastically wealthy. And the genie says, all right, your wish is granted. All of a sudden, I have rings on my fingers and a crown on my head. My wallet's full of cash. I've got all these ATM cards and credit cards. I got an Amex Black and a deed to a mansion, and I'm totally loaded.
That's rich.
So I said, man, this is amazing. I guess for my next wish, I want to be married to, let's just go ahead and say, the most beautiful woman in the world. I want to be married to Kate Upton. Boom. Kate Upton is on the beach. The genie says, your wish is granted. The ocean's part, and there she is in her bikini, walking toward the guy with a wedding ring on, and they're married.
Is that the person that the guy who wrote this joke?
Did he pick Kate Upton?
Uh-huh.
No, I did.
Okay.
And she's not the most beautiful woman in the world, but she's on my mind. And so there's Kate Upton. They're married. It was incredible.
And he's rich.
And he's rich. And the guy said, all right, you got one more wish. What's your wish going to be? So in the bar, the man with the big orange head stopped and took a sip of beer. And he goes, all right, now I think This is where maybe I went wrong. I wish to have a big orange head. And that is the anti-joke.
It's not bad.
Well, you laugh through 80% of it except the punchline.
Well, I think, though...
The telling of the joke is usually what
right. people laugh. I have to say, like, you are one of the better joke tellers I've ever met in my entire life. Seriously.
It.
No, really. You really are.
That's from Patrick and Derek. The anti-joke.
I think the punchline or the anti-punchline, mm-hmm. it's not that it wasn't funny. It just needed, like, a little drumming up. Like, he needed to yeah. continue the story slightly more. Like, okay, so for my third wish, I said, I want to have a giant orange head.
Okay.
Rather than, I think this is where I went wrong. I wished for an orange head.
Right.
It fell out of the arc of the story. The flow, yeah.
Okay.
If they had said it in the same way, I think it would have been fun.
All right. Well, I improvised a lot of that, but I actually did read that last bit as he wrote it, so I'm not going to take credit for ruining the anti-joke.
Who was it that wrote in?
Patrick wrote in, but it's Patrick and Derek are the jokesters, so thanks, guys.
Thanks, Patrick. Thanks, Derek. Seriously, that wasn't irritating at all. That was a fun thrill ride.
Yeah.
If you can think of an anti-joke that's actually worth writing in, we want to hear it. We're always good for a good joke or good anti-joke. If it's pretty good, maybe we'll read some on the air. What do you think?
I can read jokes. I could have a whole different podcast called Chuck Reads Jokes.
Okay. Well, I'll sit here and quietly while you do record those. You can tweet to us. You can tweet your jokes or anti-jokes to us at SYSK Podcast. You can send us anti-jokes by posting them on our Facebook page, facebook.com/stuffyoushouldknow. You can send us an email, stuffpodcast@discovery.com. And, as always, you can hang out at our website, stuffyoushouldknow.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com.
JackThreads has quickly become the online shopping destination for guys. Here's why. Everything on the site is up to 80% off. As a listener of Stuff You Should Know, you can skip the membership waitlist and get instant access.
So check it out, dudes. That's signup.jackthreads.com/knowstuff. Are you thirsty? Well, Richard's rainwater is caught clean before it even hits the ground. Rain is naturally pure, so there's no need for harsh chemicals or additives. Richard's rainwater contains no chlorine, no forever chemicals, no microplastics, no nothing. Enjoy the smooth, clean taste of still rainwater or the cold pressured bubbles of sparkling rainwater. Just visit richardsrainwater.com to find a retailer near you. That's richardsrainwater.com. And for a coupon, text STUFF to 251-292-8887 and receive $2 off a 12-pack case of Richard's Rainwater.
Life in our modern age comes at you pretty fast, which makes our time away especially valuable. When I take time to relax, I like to get far from my everyday life, immerse myself in natural beauty, and have unique experiences. But you don't have to leave the U.S. to experience tropical rainforests and islands filled with adventure, warm culture, and national treasures. Visit Puerto Rico, an island with a vibrant spirit that will sweep you away. Because when you visit, you don't become part of the island, it becomes part of you. In Puerto Rico, you can forget where you came from and embrace where you are. Puerto Rico, where visits end, but stories last forever. No passport required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.